This is Chris from Premier Guitar here in Nashville, Tennessee, at the Exit Inn with my friend Russell. Russell, how are you doing?
Good, thanks.
I should have incorrectly. Russell's with the Band of Skulls, who are here in town from UK. So congratulations on making your way to Nashville.
Yeah.
By one way or another.
It's always a bit of a prize to be here, you know, Music City.
And we have a little bit of time, so we're going to take all the time until we can get you on stage again to talk about guitars.
Sounds good.
What's number one in your hands here?
Number one is, this is my number one Jazzmaster, and this is my main guitar. I've had it since I left high school.
Wow.
It's in fact my first electric guitar. So
was it a gift or was it something
it
that
was,
you
it was
gave
like,
yourself?
It was not, I don't know what the American equivalent is, but I didn't mess it up too badly, you know, high school that is.
Mm-hmm.
This was the payoff.
Oh, like a graduation present? That's
exactly
what we have.
Exactly that. And and I've played it on all the Band of Skulls records, every show pretty much. Had a bit of time being out of service, and it's very heavily modified, so this is probably the most interesting one on that aspect.
Let's talk about any of the modifications you've done.
Okay, well, the neck and the body are the original. It's a late 90s Japanese Jazzmaster, so it's not completely correct in its measurements and its dimensions, but that's pretty cool.
Which makes it unique.
Yeah, it makes it a little different to feel to the others. The guard, obviously, I like the look of the 59s,
yeah.
So that's kind of that vibe. The pickups are custom made by a friend of mine in London, a guy, Matt, who is known as Monty's. So Monty's pickup in London. These are a custom set of Jazzmaster pickups, which he doesn't really make on his stock inventory. He does humbuckers and single coils and things. So he made these, a vintage spec one in the front. And this one is kind of a slightly hotter, more attacky one. So he wound that for me and experimented.
Yeah, was there any back and forth where you're like, okay, that's too hot, too underwound, or was it pretty much he nailed it with the first set?
He nailed it in the fact that he listened to me and we were making a record in the same studio as he was based at the time. And just listened to my playing and was aware of the band from before. So brought what was a kind of okay sounding guitar into something that was really quite unique. And even more unique now, it's got these in. It's got the Mastery Bridge,
yep.
Which is the best upgrade you can do for Jazzmaster. This, I've broken everything, so that's new. That's new. That's obviously just broken now.
Yep.
This pretty broken. Strap locks and the rest of it. And he even refretted it, because I've played those off. Nuts, the replacement nuts. These replaced. It's just, it's
wow.
everything but the wood has fallen off at one point. But somewhere in there is the crux of my guitar playing and hopefully the guitar sound in the band. So everything is based around the sound of this guitar.
I would have been mistaken by leading in and saying that I associated you being a Gretsch guy. I saw you back in 2012
right.
At Lollapalooza. You had nothing but black and white Falcons,
yeah.
At least in that set.
That was kind of my phase two. And I figured, you know, when we got a record deal and started making albums, that I, like every guitar player does, want to experiment, and I figured I should try some more stuff out and broaden my sound. Saying that, there's an element of those records we made in the middle that the Gretsch sound was important to, but more and more I've gone back to
the
Jazzmaster, just it being my own personal sound, and I think that's relatively important for any guitar player to have a kind of unique place, and I can play this guitar, I can express myself more with this, and a Gretsch, it's good for some songs, but this is kind of the crux.
That's your muse almost. Do you songwrite on that, or is it maybe more acoustic you write on?
Well, if it's around, yeah. If it's around, and it's on every record, like I say, and you know, I'll do parts on this, but for live, it's just the most natural thing. I've been playing it since I was a kid, so.
It's at home there.
Yeah, it's not anything special, but it's just a unique one to me.
Cool, well, let's keep going.
All right.
What's up next? What would you say this is the one that you use probably second most through the set?
Second most through the set? Well, why don't we go for the Gretsch? It's the kind of other end of things.
Yeah.
So this is a pretty much stock, Anniversary Junior. So smaller body size. And I've kind of replaced all the Falcons I was playing with this as a kind of do-all Gretsch. rock and roll machine, which it is. It's like it's a little, you know, it's a fast little guitar. TV Jones, they're the stock ones. It's kind of the opposite. Everything just came, and it's a pretty high-end guitar anyway.
Yeah, it's sharp.
So it should be right out of the box, shouldn't it? And we do all the Gretsch stuff with this. Some of the things from our third record, Himalayan, a bit more Gretschy, swampy, bluesy sounds.
Yep.
And so it hasn't quite got the depth of a Falcon in the sense of sort of if you play it cleaner or like a slower song or a more beautiful, cleaner Gretsch sound. But for the dirty sort of glam rock punk sort of sound, the TV Jones are great.
Yeah, they howl.
And because it's smaller, you really can get around quickly.
Yeah.
It's a relatively delicate thing and very sharp. I think it's ebony board and it's held up really well.
With the vibratos of the trem, do you prefer a Bigsby with the spring like that, or do you like the Jazzmaster?
I think it feels very similar because it's in the same place.
Yep.
And also you've got this bridge behind if you want to use that, which I've used that quite now and again. And it's a bit more robust. And it's less like it's like a knitting needle, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's the first idea. This is a bit more of a cool thing. Yeah, they're different in different ways. This one does a kind of rockabilly, rock and roll thing, but for expression, I prefer the knitting needle on the Fender.
All right, let's dive into one of these other Jazzmasters.
All right. Okay, so this one, I mean, they're kind of relative to each record. So we've got this one on the second record. A proper Jazzmaster, a real American one. And I think this one came out of Wildwood in Colorado.
Yep.
I didn't go and get it, but I asked for it and they're the ones who had them. So it's a thin skin, Aztec gold, absolute beast of a Jazzmaster.
Ooh, yeah.
It's the heaviest one I've ever come across. So this works really nicely as a more of a rock sound, and we use it at the moment without the trem on and just lock it down to be a bit more stable and do things that don't need the tremolo on it.
Is it specific to any of the material on the second record, or is there any other songs you would?
I can't remember. I played it on the second record on a bunch of stuff when that one was out of action and live a lot. And then on the new album, by default, I pretty much exclusively played this.
All right.
So that's the Jazzmaster thing happened with this. This guitar just in the studio, maybe the weight or the hardness of the wood or whatever, just our producer Gil Norton asked for this guitar most.
And is the pickups anything special?
The ones it came with.
Okay, I don't know if maybe...
No, this one again, like, as a relative thing, it's nice to have some things. It's definitely different to my guitar already, so I don't feel the need to change it because it's a more of an American sound, I guess, a bit more of a classic Fender Jazzmaster sound. And I'm always using the lead circuit and just everything.
Yeah, I was going to ask because I saw you during sound check. Is everything wide open and you manipulate? We'll get to the pedal board, but you use the volume pedal instead of backing off on the guitar?
Yeah, if I was more skilled, I'd use the volume to do the most changing of tone. And now and again, this to get silly and annoy every sound man in the building. But yeah, that's just the other end of it. And Mastery Bridge and a couple of war wounds.
Let's check out the black one you got in there.
Yeah.
And for strings, are you changing them up between the four guitars, or are they all the same sets through all four?
I mean, this is a question for Will here. I wouldn't get into the details of that. I know I can play something and say I don't like it, mainly with gauges. This guitar is probably a good example of that. We always have one guitar tuned down a whole tone. So this guitar is D to D.
Okay.
And we've always had one like that. We used to have a Gibson. But we replaced that now with this. This started life as a spare. It's a blacktop Jazzmaster. Mm-hmm. It's a $500 guitar, $700 guitar. And we played it as a spare and it was okay. And then I left it with my friend Monty there in London and I forgot about it, which is the most expensive mistake I've ever made. And I came back about 6 months later and he'd made this. and he'd made what was a relatively cheaper, it's a Mexican cheaper Fender, and he'd made it into a really versatile guitar.
What are some of the things he did to it?
He refretted it, and it does such a beautiful job. It's like a custom guitar. the pickups he made, it was to replace my Gibson, so they are, they're almost like wide range Fender humbuckers, but he's tapped it out so it's also a, goes back to a Jazzmaster single coil, or maybe more of a Strat kind of sound.
Okay.
And that was the biggest thing, and it's really, a little bus stop in there, just as a bit of a different thing.
Yeah.
Which seems to help with the tension of the lower tuning. And I guess these are slightly, are they the same strings we go for now? Yeah, so we used to have the heavier gauge, but that starts to change the volumes and tones in the amp. So having tens across the
across
guitars
the board.
Seems to help that. Yeah, so I use this on a couple of songs that we've got in the drop tuning. And but such a range of songs. There's a song called Asleep at the Wheel, which is closes the set, which is the loudest thing we have. And there's also, we play a song called Cold Fame on this guitar, which is probably the most gentle.
Yeah, as I say, it's a really quiet song.
Yeah. So I have to, the guitar to be perfect on that song. And then it, I always forget and Ender's Night completely trash it. And, and it's holding up pretty well. And this tour, yeah, it's holding up pretty well. But I'm trying to get some life onto it.
Looks like you're trying to get Monty some more work here. By
yeah, sorry about that, Matt. If you could just buff these out. The paint's so thick on it, so the less paint the better.
Yeah.
So we'll get there in the end. But it's turned into it's a good example of what you can do with a cheaper basis of a guitar. And I don't mind throwing it around because I know it's not worth thousands of dollars. But the pickup's probably worth more than the guitar. But
are you throwing around your first one?
No. I used to. No, not anymore. I just like them to have a little bit of life.
Yeah.
And you've got to have fun whilst playing and not be too precious.
Yeah, I completely agree. They're meant to be played.
So yeah, this is probably one of the newer additions, and I think it will stick around for a while because it's so versatile. Yeah.
Right on. And how about we talk to amps right here to our left?
Cool.
You got Vibra Kings. So, what got you turned onto these?
Vibra Kings. I had a conversation with a good friend of the band, Ed O'Brien, Radiohead. Ed O'Brien.
Just name dropping.
Yeah, well, it's the story of these amps. And he, because I was on DeVille when we first started out. So the first record was on a DeVille. And he had just, they were doing a record and he got one of these. And he was banging on about how great it was. He got the whole stack and I just about got the first combo because they're not the cheapest amps.
Yeah, no.
And for a while there I used a DeVille and a Vibra King. Say on the second album, that was the sound. And after that, some bigger venues, we went to a full stack, and then two. So now, yeah, that's it. It's kind of like the big brother of those DeVilles, but it's so much more like a, for me, it's like the closest to like a mini Marshall stack that I would be comfortable getting to. But it's Fender, and it's still got that surfy sound if you need it, and it cleans up really beautifully.
Do you like
the blues sound?
Do you like the three-speaker format versus, you know, normally it would be like a 210 or a 115? You like to have the three?
So they've got three 10s in the top.
And the 212s?
And 212s in the bottom. So I just think it's pretty, it's kind of covers all bases. And like anything, you get used to getting into playing something, and now I've got to know that amp. It's hard for me. I can play on a DeVille or another amp, but I think I sound the best through this. And it's very hard to find these amps when we're flying away or in another studio. But saying that, when you do find a good sound, it's yours because less people have them.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's kind of the impetus of my question was, this is, now I don't want to say it's a lesser known combo, but it's a combo that when we do these things, that it's something I don't really see. Like if the DeVilles or already have the heads and stuff, whereas the Vibra Kings aren't. The only person I can recall doing a rig rundown with would be Gary Clark Jr.
Right.
He had the Vibra Kings.
Yeah, which is more of a blues thing again. So I think maybe that's the element that draws people to it.
Yeah.
And although we're a loud rock and roll band, I don't want to like a rock amp. I've never wanted that. I've always played combos, and I like having things that weren't designed for their use and then pushing them to their limits. You know.
Yeah.
Because these weren't made for to be in a rock band. They weren't. They're big old Fender blues amps. You know. And really for the purists, they're hand wired, hand built. And just, yeah, apart from getting a vintage amp, it's probably the best we can do with new ones. And and those are my British ones. We've brought those over.
All right.
We've got some American ones, and we like what those do with the American power.
Oh, yeah.
Even the voltages of the circuits.
That goes back to your doing things wrong with the...
Maybe it is. I could have made my life much easier by just doing things the right way. But, yeah, so I brought those over. That's my hand luggage. And
check my bag.
Yeah, I know it's cool, and people get enthusiastic about them. We've been trying some new things. If you look kind of closely, there are some... I have a friend in England. There are some speakers, some microphones actually bolted into the speaker. So we've been experimenting with those at the moment.
And what's the purpose or what's the idea behind that?
To not have any microphones on the stage. Or if any microphones go down, it's a great backup. So there's a little experimenting at the moment, going on and finding different sounds.
And always tinkering.
Yeah, I think we're always open for people with ideas or anything that might be an interesting thing for us, because we're relatively simple up here. It's just like a rock and roll band, you know.
Well, in keeping with the rock and roll, let's check out your pedal board.
Let's do it.
All right, we're over at your pedal board, Russell. Walk us through what we see here.
Okay, so this is always a changing landscape, and we've got some old friends at the back and some new things at the front. The biggest thing I play with the guitar is the volume pedal. That's the most expressive pedal. That was the biggest change ever in my playing, because rather than putting on distortions and what have you, just from relative cleans or off, which is always useful in a gig, to like, you know, this being the most.
Full on.
And just all everyone in between, finding little places, and it's never the same. And you just play to how it feels and how the song's feeling and what you want to do with the song. So this is it, that's it. If I had one pedal, I would have an amp on loudly in this pedal. If I had one pedal, I would have this. Yeah.
Wow.
Because it's the most, it does the most.
All right, well, if you could have two pedals, what would be the second pedal you would take?
Well, going through here, we go into the distortion stuff. This is a OCD, full tone. I don't know which version it is, but yeah. We had that, we've had some distortion pedals. I like to have the amp clean and sounding really nice just on the edge of breakup, so it's got lots of body, and then have this to overdrive it something to do that job. And then it's a big muff, just a standard one. We had some Russian ones, I've broken many.
Yeah, I've seen you had the green one once.
I've had so many, and I've broken so many. And and they're great. And this we've always had on the board, and all the records for all of the moments where we do louder moments in the set. And just the fuzz tone, going back to that Hendrix thing, it's kind of fuzz face, you know, like it does that thing.
Yep.
And going through here is a POG, which is I just use to blend different octaves in. Either top one or the low octave, and we just have two sounds, and we just save them in there. And we tweak that mostly every show, just every room affects the octaves quite differently, because you're adding a lot of highs and lows.
Is that something you're using on Heaven's Key? The octave there?
Yeah, to get that kind of chimey sound. Yeah, to get a little 12-string sound on that. And now and again on other things, or just if I feel like it, because it's always like in your face. And then this is just my experimental area, where every day I just try something. So I've stolen Emma's...
I was going to ask. Here.
So we've got this in the studio, and I love it because you can blend the clean in, because it's a bass pedal, which is really awesome. So yeah, she doesn't know about that yet. And the memory toy was there before, because I was playing with that in the right same size. Then it's into delays, basically. Just because for a long time, you know, we've been a three-piece band, and I'd always needed all the help I can get to fill up space. Mm-hmm. So this is the newest one. And the most, the one I'm into at the moment, which is the LCAP, and really musical, really tapey, and I just love it. I put that on all the time now in the show.
That's probably the one you use the most.
It just spreads everything out,
yeah.
But it's not harsh, and it's really musical, I'd call that. And so that's on some of the new songs, Love by Default, and loads of other stuff, So Good, just to put a different scene onto the songs. It really takes the guitar out of the front of the mix, it almost. So it's great for like intros and middle eights and outros, etc. Mm-hmm. So I use that all the time. This guy does a song called Diamonds and Pearls, which is just a slap, a quick repeat echo, because this guy used to do that, and it has candy for switches, so that doesn't work. So this guy does that, and it's a bass, and it's solid, and it's all taped up, so it does the same thing every single day.
Yep.
And then out here, this pedal I got on the second record, and I do lots of sort of more Space Echo type things than that. It's really tweakable. We can do loops on this. And I just reverse echo as well, use that on a couple songs. And it, again, you can preset or everything. So we change that now and again. But this is like the experimental one to get down and play.
Yeah.
With your hands. And this guy is the probably the other pedal I would need to have. This is a Dan Electro Real Echo. I apparently they are discontinued now.
Yep.
But I used to use it for all the delays and move this guy around here. But I just use it now to make very long drones, long delays, and then you can stop it and play over the top. So I use that to make drones under a bunch of the songs, which is another thing, which is a feature of our band. And it's got a sound which I can't replicate even with something way more expensive. It's got its own unique character.
It's almost like a Strymon's too good of a delay, where like the Dan Electro, you know, it has its quirks.
It's just got a sound.
Yeah.
It's one of those pedals which has a sound, and again, I've been through a bunch of those as well. And there's a bunch of dead ones kicking around for spare parts. So yeah, if I can take two, I'll have these two, please. And just allow
and
that.
And then the Jazzmaster.
And then that one guitar, if I really had to, yeah. And then on this tour, we've just got tied up a little bit, and we've got this gig rig, Quartermaster down here. Just to stop me destroying all the pedals in the show by stomping on them. That's how they've all broken all the, I've gone through the big muffs. So we're having fun with this at the moment, messing around with the combinations. And I've actually started using my foot to press down two, rather than having patches, because you can have patches, but I get confused with that. I like it still to be like old school, you know?
Yeah, it's still organic like that.
So I like to maybe, I've yet to do three at a time, but I can definitely hit two with my with my feet.
I think if you go for three, you might be breaking the gig rig too.
Yeah, so that's been fun. And obviously I need some help finding the most important ones.
Yep.
So Will will send me some messages. Today they're quite polite, but often they can be quite impolite. So yeah, that's about it. And we always try new things, always. Every new song, we always try new things, but the staples of our setups stick around. And there's a tuner for some reason, because
I
haven't tuned
a
guitar in about 3 years. I don't know what that's just a lucky charm.
Yeah. That's just there so we can say it's there.
I have no idea. Is that a tuner?
Yeah.
Okay, it's a tuner.
Russell, thank you. We're going to talk to Emma now. Thank you very much, man.
Thanks.
Appreciate it.
Thanks.
All right, we're on the other side of the stage. We're here with Emma. Emma, how are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. Yes.
You were going to talk to us about your precision basses. I want to know all about this Antigua one.
Yeah, this. I started playing just the standard American P bass, the Sunburst one over there, and just branching out and getting a couple more now in the collection. And this. I fell in love with this one as soon as I saw it. The finish is amazing. It's a reissue, and it's I think it was made with that finish for like black and white TV, so it sort of stood out.
But where'd you scoop it up at?
Fender.
Right at the factory.
Yeah, gave us just to try it out really, and I kept it.
It's safe to say you dig it.
Yeah, I love it. And the maple neck, I don't usually play maple neck, but this kind of sort of turned me.
What do you like about the maple versus like a rosewood?
It's a bit more lively. It's a bit more vicious, I guess.
Really?
Compared to my other one. And it works really well with the distortions I'm using. And yeah, it's just a good tone.
And did you use this while recording by default, your guys' album that you
Definitely.
Dropped this earlier this year?
Yeah, it was used on a lot of the tracks. And it's really versatile, you know. It can be kind of warm and soft, but also, yeah, it can do the business when it gets loud and there's the bigger riffs. It really works. So,
within the Fender family, what drew you to a P bass versus the jazz bass?
For me, it was just the weight of it. I tried a couple on and it was like this. It just felt right.
Yeah.
You know? And I like the heavy and I like the it's solid, you know. And yeah, I throw it around a bit and it needs to. deal with a rock show, you know. So yeah, it's good. It kind of stands up.
And what strings are you? What string gauge are you using in brand?
At the moment, I think it's what we've got. Oh. Yeah, I don't change them ever. So.
Oh really?
Yeah,
it's. I couldn't tell you the last time.
Yeah, it's
so Ernie
minimal.
Ball, old as hell strings.
Yeah.
Older the better.
Yeah. Hence why I couldn't tell you the gauge.
We don't know the gauge because we'll change those.
Yeah, I think we put a new set of strings on when we go, and then maybe once.
On this tour, yeah.
Yeah.
Set it and forget it, I guess.
Yeah.
And I've seen you guys a couple times, and every time I see you, you're always playing with your... Do you ever play with the pick?
For one or two tracks on the new record, just to get the speed.
Yeah.
But I prefer playing with my fingers.
Yeah, why do you do that? You just feel you're more like dynamic?
You're completely attached to it. You know? Yeah. You can feel it. And yeah, you get more control as well. It's like, you know, the muting and, you know, just different. I don't know. I've made up my own style. I didn't really get taught. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just, I guess I started like that and that's how I felt more comfortable. And I tried a pick and it was just felt a bit clumpy and like awkward. So yeah, I do it when I need to, but just to get the kind of speed, I guess, like I said. But yeah. Fingers all the way.
What were the two songs that you needed to do to use the picker?
I think it ended up being Back of Beyond, and maybe I think that was it actually. We maybe tried it for like Killer or something,
and just didn't feel it.
Quick and just yeah, it was back to the fingers. But yeah, so definitely fingers over pick for me. Yeah.
Let's get introduced to your other bass over there.
Yeah.
And would you say this one is like a backup, or is this one used in a different tuning, or?
This is a drop tuning on this one. It's for Sleep at the Wheel. Yes, full drop down D. And this is my original bass, so I've learned on, and I borrowed one of Russell's old basses before, and then finally could afford my own. So I think when we first came out to America, I kind of invested in getting one. And
did you give Russell's bass back, or do you still have it?
Yeah, I kind of still have that.
Oops.
Well, it's kind of in storage, so he doesn't know.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it's cool. It's a lot of history with it. Learned to play pretty much and do. I've done a lot of shows on this bass. So, but it's nice to have. It usually we have like three or four on the road in the UK, mm-hmm. but because America, we've got to strip it down a little bit. So, this is a backup and a step down.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, but yeah, this is the original. The one I started on. So.
Is there anything you had to do to it in the time that you've owned it, or? To upgrade it, or is it pretty much the way it is?
It's pretty much the way it is. The volume comes up and I haven't bothered to replace them. It's strung through the back as well, which is kind of cool. It's a little more sturdy, I guess. And yeah, the rosewood neck. It's a nice change to have, you know, two different basses on tour. So, yeah.
And over your right shoulder here, we have your Fender stack. Uh-huh. And maybe you were using a backline before, but the times I've seen you used to use SVT or Ampeg gear.
Yes.
Is this a change that you made, or is this your actual rig now, or is that the Ampeg stuff?
Yeah, I started on SVT VR, and I had a Classic as well. And I love Ampeg, great, but for like roadworthiness, Fender's kind of a bit more reliable in that sense, just because we play so many shows, and I kind of keep the Ampegs at home and now, and Fender on the road, and it's really good. To have that kind of, I play with a kind of a warmer, dubbier tone, and then use the effects to kind of boost stuff rather than, you know, using.
Because that's a tube head, right? I mean, it's super bass with 300 watts.
Yes, I'm on the vintage setting usually, and then let the pedal board do the work.
Gotcha.
But it's great, really reliable, and just a great tone, really good.
How long have you been using that with the Fender Super Bassman?
Over a year or two now.
No.
Yeah, and it's great. It's just it does what I need it to do.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, let's see how you push things into the extreme and check out your pedal board. Mm-hmm. Emma, we are at your Stomp Station pedal board extravaganza. Talk to us about what you're using.
So I've got a couple of distortions. Basically, through the records, I've either changed or added distortion pedals. So I started with a tuner, basically. And for the first record, didn't really have much distortion at all. Mm-hmm. And then started using the bass Big Muff Electromonix, which I've swapped out now for the Hotcake, which we were using for a lot on By Default with Gil Norton. We were using that and like Marshall amps and stuff to get different sounds, using kind of amps as pedals in a way,
gotcha.
Which is kind of cool, which is really what we like doing. Well, I like doing with a bass rig. So yeah, the Hotcake's awesome as a distortion. It keeps the kind of low end, and yeah, it's got a good growl to
it. And it works well for bass being a guitar pedal, you feel?
It's brilliant, yeah. I kind of prefer it you know, to the Big Muff for certain songs, it kind of works better. And then the Bassmaster for Asleep at the Wheel, with the drop tuning, because it's quite a kind of it's kind of more of a gritty high end kind of distortion. So with a kind of drop down tuning, it kind of lifts that out and gives it a bit of power. And then the octave, the Pog 2 octave pedal, and this AV split. I use it running through the DeVille amp, which is tucked around behind the back. So that's like a pedal for me.
I thought I heard something different when you kicked it down during sound check.
Yeah. Me and Russ are kind of, when he takes a solo, I can then back him up with a bit more volume and keep that sort of sound full. So I can use that as a pedal really. So it's sort of one setting and it kind of goes on for a bunch of different songs. And so it's kind of interesting to us that in between the kind of guitar and bass range. And
I
can kind of go up and he can come down and we can, it's kind of a three piece, it keeps it kind of exciting.
It keeps everything full.
Yeah, definitely. So it's pretty simple really. And it's less to ballet dance around.
and you can put it in a carry-on.
Indeed. Well, we try.
Emma, thank you very much. For Emma Russell, myself, Chris Keys, Premier Guitar here at Exit Inn in Nashville, Tennessee.
Don't forget to sign up for PG Perks, your all-access pass to exclusive gear giveaways and discounts on PremierGuitar.com.